My thanks to Darius Butler. Big fan. Big fan. He always shows up well. Love talking to him. We go to hour number three. We are live in the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you want to buy a home or refinance your current home, Rocket can. I like that Darius and AB are out there, and they're making their picks every single week. We do the same thing. They pick all the games. We don't pick all the games, but we like to do a little something around here called Big Head Bets. I'll get to that really quickly. One quick bit of reaction. Beauregard's Butler tweets, "Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
Are you not entertained?"
Alvy to the XR4TI crew after killing the roach. Hashtag gladiator.
At least give me a clean death.
Where do you come out? I'm gladiator myself. All right, time for another edition of the Big Head Bets. We do it every single Friday with Big Head James Kelly. Now, the fact is, he is not articulate. In fact, he's barely literate. But he has a gigantic head and is practically a savant in the way he picks games. Now, do not get this twisted. Betting the NFL is near impossible at this point, especially against the spread. Even the pros struggle with it. But I'm here to tell you, he may not have an exact title per se, a professional title per se, but I'm going to tell you, I will put the head to head against some of the very best that do it, the best of the best. And I know the people who get down with us, who track this sort of thing, know that we are really, really good at it. I'm not saying we're perfect. Nobody is. I'm saying that what we have to offer you is damn good. Good entertainment, good info, and good picks. There is your Friday setup. Head, what's cracking? How you doing, man?
Gladiator, bar none, number one.
Gladiator.
Gym. Gladiator.
Where do you come out? How come?
Maximus. All of it. It's incredible. The entire movie, the fight scenes, the acting. I'm not sure if you've noticed, Maximus has kind of gained a little weight since then, but then, at that time, it's incredible.
Yeah, he's also said some pretty regrettable things. He's done some pretty regrettable things. He's had a rather regrettable amount of weight gain.
That's right.
Great movie, though, man. Great movie. Darius. How about our guy Darius, man? He's nice, huh?
Dude, smart, funny, cool guy, and I love his breakdowns on Twitter. I actually watched it right before you had him on, and it's just very good insight for a lot of people that don't understand how the games work. He does a good job of all of it. So,
yeah, you do, though, Head. Let's get right to it. Right off the top, I want to say there are, okay, clones, get ready. We're going to break this thing down. Get your pens out. I want to say, Head, there are some insane NFL spreads this weekend. Crazy numbers that you ordinarily would never see in the NFL. So I'm kind of hyped to see how you're going to play it. Why don't we start with the Cards and the Texans? Arizona is the last remaining unbeaten team. They're 6-0. Come Sunday, they will be 7-0. The Texans have one win, and they are ass. We know that, too. Here is the question, Head. What is the fat number that you are seeing on that? And is there any way that you would take the Texans and them to stay within that fat number?
The number is 17.5, and hell
dude,
no.
Dude, stop right there. Yep. 17.5.
17.5. Arizona at home against the Texans. And Jim, I'm riding with the Cardinals here. Yeah. The concern is after the way they handled Cleveland, this could be a bit of a trap game, but Cliff's track record doesn't show a lack of focus recently. He is 5-1-1 in his last seven games against the spread after allowing less than 15 points in the previous game, so I like that here. And I just don't think Houston can hang with the Cards from the go. Arizona, all season, they start fast. They are second in the NFL in first quarter points. If they get out quickly and they make the Texans one-dimensional, watch out, because Houston's offensive line is extremely bad in pass pro, and they are missing their two best player blockers there. Also, J.J. Watt and DeAndre Hopkins might be a touch motivated here. And this is the second biggest spread of the season, Jim. The biggest was the Texans, plus 18.5 against the Buffalo Bills week four, and they lost 40-0 there. I'm hoping they embrace that same inner ass this Sunday. Let's go Cards, minus 17.5.
Wow, embrace that same inner ass. when they were minus 18 and a half. There was a part of me that thought maybe there's no way. Hey, you make a really good argument. Arizona minus 17 and a half, and especially if the Texans embrace their, quote, inner ass.
That's right.
That is not the only double-digit line. The Bears are expected to get their faces broken in Tampa on Sunday, understandably so. Now, the Bucs are flawed on the back end, but for the most part, they are a well-oiled machine, especially offensively. Do you think the Bears, I will say this, I mean, in their defense, I expect them to get on the airplane, get off the airplane, and show up at the yard. Will they, quote, embrace their own inner ass? What is the number? How you playing it?
I'm hoping they are. Tampa minus 12 at home is the number, Jim, and I'm laying the 12 and going the Bucks, so I hope they do. Like you mentioned, though, against Tampa, you have to throw the football, right, and attack that secondary. The Bears do not throw the football. Only the Saints have fewer attempts this season than Chicago does in attempts per game. So Justin Fields is going to be asked to do something he hasn't done, and that could lead to some turnovers. It's very Dodgers-like approach from Pennis and Cracker Jacks there. I just want to throw that out there for the Dodgers.
What the hell are you talking about, man?
Like, asking them to do something that they haven't done all year. Like, they just don't. They're not big in routine.
Dude, that Pennis and Cracker Jack thing, I know it's the Bears, but that's just gratuitous. Just don't need to mix that in. It's got nothing.
That
all right, no, actually, I'll allow it. I take that back. It is the Bears. You're fine. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, that Bears defense is
it's
good.
Not like you weren't going to do it. Go ahead.
But they're banged up. No Robert Quinn this weekend. And against TB44, like we all know, you got to get him off those spots. This offense is explosive. They're averaging over 32 points a game. Now, the Bucs are 2-4 against the spread this season, but 6-1 in their last seven games following against the spread loss. That's in place here. Let's go Bucs minus 12 against Chicago.
All right, so right there, we've got two double-digit spread games, and you're going minus on both, which is incredible. Like, yep. I know you, Head. I know you. I know you're looking for value. Now, not that I fully trust the Colts, but I see them going to Frisco. I see Jonathan Taylor running wild, man, with authority, snot bubbling fools. I see Carson Wentz not trying to play hero ball. I know they're banged up too, but I kind of like what I'm seeing. I actually like these guys on the road if I get the right number. So tell me, what is the number and how are you playing that game?
I do love value, but it's so funny because this season I've been hitting so much chalk. It just makes so much sense to me. But right here, yes, I'm going value. I'm going Indy plus 4 right now, and I just like the points there. The 49ers are obviously coming off that bye, and Jimmy G is going to be their quarterback. But George Kittle isn't playing, and they are still banged up overall, Jim. And Wentz, he's slowly and quietly playing better ball. Indy might actually have something there, might being the key word, but he's been playing on two busted ankles, right, and behind a depleted line, and he's thrown 9 touchdowns and only 1 interception this year. Also, Indy as a whole, they haven't turned the ball over. They have the third fewest turnovers per game in the entire NFL, and they're the least penalized team in the NFL. And look, man, we're talking about revenge today, a couple games here, and DeForest Buckner, he might have something for the 49ers. And get this number for the spread in San Francisco. San Fran is 5-22-1 in their last 28 games as a home favorite. Let's go Colts, plus 4.
I think it's a strong argument. I think I would love to go against you on any of these.
And I love Shanahan, but man.
Oh, I know you do, dude. You love that fam. You love that fam. Indy plus 4. All right, well, looky here. What do you know? The Giants are dogs at home. Because, of course, they are. And pretty much would be against anybody in that league other than those slugs across town that they share that house with. This week's loss matchup is with Carolina. Pretty obviously, we know the Panthers are going to get to the quarterback. Pretty obviously, we know the Giants quarterback, Daniel Jones, is going to turn the ball over. That's what they do. That's what he does. Question is, what do you do, Head? What's the number here? What are you doing with it?
So Ritz Panthers are minus 2.5 right here, Jim, and it seems like since the old man Ike sported his Panther gamer at work, I think they've lost every single game since then. So I'm going to go.
Yeah, but he did make like 5 wardrobe changes in that, within
this is
that,
not
right?
Cool.
That is not cool. Right, Rhett? Yeah, he did do that too. And actually, Jim, I'm going to go with him here.
Huh?
He's going to break the streak here, yes. I'm going to go Carolina minus 2.5. I think it's actually finally dawned on Matt Rhule that a game plan might be best taking the ball out of Sam Darnold's hand and handing the football off. And I think the Panthers will probably do that this Sunday. The Panthers' pass rush that you just said, too, of course, that's the biggest difference. And the Giants could play right into their hands. Over the past three games, New York has thrown the ball more than every single team outside of Kansas City in the entire NFL. And if they do that Sunday, I love Carolina. Spread numbers also. Carolina is 4-0 against the spread in their last four road games via team with a losing record. That's the Giants. And 8-1 against the spread in their last nine road games. That's in play here. Going Ritz Panthers minus 2.5. And as always, Jim, if we don't cover that, tweet at the old man. He will be watching probably in a Jimmy Clausen gamer or something like that, and he'll respond accordingly.
He'll be live tweeting, too, and it'll be unreadable, but he'll be all about it. He'll be doing it. So tweet at the old man. I like that pick, actually. I like it. I like that pick. Not because they're Ritz Panthers, but because they're going against the Giants. Minus 2.5. I like that. Finally, why don't we circle back to the other huge line. Incredibly, Head, there are three double-digit, not one, not two, three double-digit spreads this Sunday. And the last one has the Rams as enormous favorites against the Lions. Of course, the Rams are among the league elite. The Lions are among the league's worst. This would be your run-of-the-mill hospital job if not for that spicy storyline, Stafford v. Goff. That's right, Jared Goff. He's going to make his return to L.A. for the first time since getting run out of town and sent to the D. The fact is, Stafford has been everything the Rams thought that he would be, and Goff, unfortunately, has been everything Detroit should have known that he wouldn't be. I mean, Head, if Stafford couldn't lead the Lions anywhere, how the hell was Goff going to? Anyway, we know it's going to be a curb stomping, but what is the number, and is there any way you would ride with Dan Campbell, Goff, and the Lions?
Hell no on that one, Jim. And yes, you're right. It is a big number. But, dude, I shopped these things, and I found a 14 and a hook at WinBet when most of these sites have around 16, 16 and a half. So I hit that thing right away.
Explain what you mean by 14 and a hook.
So 14 and a half, the hook is always that half point on the end of that whole thing, which it's I don't like it because it's after two touchdowns, right? But it's still better than 16 and a half, and that's what I found on WinBet this morning.
So WinBet, like, baby.
Hell yes. What's that?
I said yeah. WinBet, baby. All right, go ahead. Break it down for me.
There you go. Exactly. So I hit that. It's another big one. It's the third big one I'm hitting, and I don't know. I just think it's interesting to see how Goff will play this week. It's odd to me that that maniac Dan Campbell puts him down and then praises Matt Stafford this week. Normally in Goff's shoes, that person would be motivated, but that dude is like the most nonchalant guy I've ever seen in my life, so I don't even think that's going to help the Lions here. But overall, obviously, like you said earlier, we have a very talented football team versus a very untalented football team. Last week, the Rams were extremely balanced against the Giants. They could play that card if they want to. But I also could see Stafford picking apart that lean Lions secondary and get off, basically, going against those guys. He is third in passing touchdowns, fourth in passing yardage, and second in passer rating already. His weapons have favorable matchups all everywhere, every single one of them. But for Detroit, their key, I would say, would be converting on
those
third
downs. You know
what,
dude? Grammar's got a favorable matchup against you. Grammar's kicking your ass, dude.
It always
Winthrop.
Does.
Go
consistent.
Ahead. Finish the thoughts. All right, I'm just kidding. Just playing.
So for Detroit, their only way of winning this game would be converting those third downs against an average third down defense in L.A. and keeping that Rams on the bench, but I just don't see that happening. They haven't had a lot of success themselves, Detroit, there. I got Stafford and McVay getting over on Goff and the Maniac big time here, minus 14.5. In Los Angeles. Let's go Rams here.
You know what? Really quickly, Head, it's interesting what you said about Dan Campbell being critical of Jared Goff. Mitchell Schwartz came on our podcast, the Jim Rome podcast, and he made a point. We were talking about coaches. He said, guys don't like that. And it wasn't even in response to that particular issue. He's like, guys don't like coaches dragging them publicly. And we love Dan Campbell because he says things that other guys wouldn't say. But I don't know if that's going to benefit Jared Goff. I mean, if you want to challenge a guy, challenge a guy. But I just thought it was interesting that Mitchell Schwartz, and I know you're a big Mitch Schwartz guy.
I'm with you. Yeah, I mean, they always try to shake up Jared, and he's just not a guy that shakes up and just kind of snaps into something like that. And Matt Campbell's kind of doing the same stuff that I think McVay kind of did, and the guy just doesn't respond to that.
Yeah, Alvin, on the other hand, does. He was shook. You want to talk about a guy who shakes up? How about that? Did you watch that? Did you see the video of that from wherever you are?
Oh, dude, I can't believe they got it. That's a big-ass roach, too, man.
All right, so run this down really quickly if they're joining us late. And by the way, you're good, but not that good. I can't believe you got 15 minutes. Break it down. You've got 5 games. Who do you have?
I got Cardinals minus 17.5 against the Houston Texans. Colts plus 4 at San Francisco. Bucks at home minus 12 against the Bears. Ritz Panthers minus 2.5 against the New York Giants in New York, and the Rams minus 14.5 against Dan Campbell's Lions.
Very chalky, but I like the picks. I like them a lot. I'm looking, the only one that I'm looking a little sideways at, and only for a second, was Tampa Bay, but that's not a green light for you to go back to. Penis and cracker.
Money there.
All right. Yeah. Wait, say it again. What?
It's even on the money there. It's about a 51-49 split right now on the money. So a lot of people are seeing the same thing.
51 which way?
Last I saw, Bucks, 51.
All right. There you go. All right, Head. Have a great weekend. Good luck.
All right, Jim. Thanks.
Let's get paid.
Yep.
Look for it on Twitter in case you missed it. All right. So we do that every Friday. What I'm saying is what's different about us when we do that. Say what you want. I'm saying, look at our track record. Look at the Head. Look at what we do. And I'm going to put those numbers up against a lot of pros. And then the difference also is we give you entertainment value and good picks. Big Head bets. All right. So there you go. When we come back, still ahead. Oh, Alvy, he's had a day now. Killed a roach. Been working on his Ionic week that was. We'll have that. I've got the ATP.
Ionic.
I've been trying to talk about America's team, but I got into it already with Darius. We'll see. Plenty of more content, and I am on an airplane tomorrow morning to head to New York City for an appearance on the NFL Today on CBS. Hyped up on that, as always. Sunday, 12 Eastern, 9 Pacific. So, quick question for you. What is it that makes Old Trapper beef jerky so good? Well, there is something to be said for a family business which does stand by quality and produces the world's finest beef jerky. Here's the thing. I think some of you think that beef jerky is beef jerky. It's all one and the same. Not true. Make sure you choose Old Trapper. It is different. It's elite. It's better. You can actually see the quality right through their iconic Clearview packages. Every single bite of Old Trapper is tender. It's never tough because they use just the best ingredients of all, from their lean strips of beef seasoned with top quality spices to their real wood-fired smoke. Old Trapper delivers quality in every single bite, and it comes in 4 amazing flavors. Old-fashioned, classic beef jerky flavor, teriyaki with the yellow label, where Old Trapper turned the flavor dial to 11, hot and spicy, with a spice so nice, you're going to want to snack twice. And then you got peppered, tender, seasoned beef covered in cracked pepper, a cold beer's best friend. So grab and go with a 4-ouncer or load it up with an 18-ounce bag where there is enough for the entire team. If you don't see it, ask for Old Trapper by name because no other jerky compares. Old Trapper essentially is incredible. Old Trapper, what's your beef?
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Big Head, James Kelly coming in. Nice job, Head. When you call a Dell Technologies advisor, they are focused on you, ready to give you advice on everything from Windows laptops to the cloud to keep your small business ready for what's next. Call an advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL. It starts with a simpler experience with Windows 11 Pro. 1-800-636-8686. All right. Episode. I mentioned Mitchell Schwartz. I want to get into this really quickly and not as a shill or a pitch, but it's just really good content. Episode 194 of the Jim Rome podcast landed on Wednesday in all of its usual spots. And as always, the original side hustle was fire. If you haven't checked it out yet, or it's been a while since you've checked it out, this is the one you want to jump back in on because my dude, Mitchell Schwartz, shows up in a big way. He brought it. Now, you know Mitch as the starting right tackle of the Kansas City Chiefs over the past five seasons. He came over from Cleveland. He was an all-pro in four of those seasons. He is a Super Bowl champ. He literally never missed a snap. Literally. Until the middle of last year when he went down with a back injury. That led to surgery. He's had a long rehab. He's now a free agent. He can sign anywhere he wants, but admits he's still not quite ready to go. So we talked about where he's at mentally, physically, emotionally, where he is in his rehab, and when he might be ready to come back.
The first few weeks, it's not too bad because, like, you like the training staff. You like those guys. They're all good people. It's fun to hang out. And then eventually, it's just the same conversations every day. It's the same routine. It's the same exercises. It just, you know, gets to wear on you a little bit. And, you know, luckily, I'm in a spot where I can, you know, take a week off here or there if I need to, kind of hit that refresh button mentally and, you know, get ready for the next segment.
Do you expect to play this year? Do you want to play this year? What is the plan?
Realistically, I'm not sure if this year is going to work out because there's the element of getting 100% healthy and then getting into football shape. You know, for people that are going through pain, it's hard to think about, you know, getting back to the activity that caused you that pain. And that, you know, we all know football is not the greatest thing for your body. So it's tough to think about going back while you're still in rehab, doing the daily things. And, you know, once I am able to get to that point, we'll figure it out. For this season, I know the timeline's kind of compressing a little bit and it's not looking the greatest. I've had a pretty good career. I got the Super Bowl ring. I've had a lot of on-field success. I made a lot of money. You know, I got to kind of share the experience with my brother as well. I've got no regrets, but again, I'd like to get feeling like I'm fully healthy and make that decision, you know, on my own terms and not, you know, necessarily have the league retire me.
Can I say something right now? Like, I could stop right there. That is such a fascinating answer. That is so interesting. All of that to me is so interesting because I'm so accustomed to guys just throwing out cliches. Everything about that response from the very beginning when he said, yeah, rehab was fine and it still is, but then you go in and you have the same conversations with the same people and it kind of gets old, but then I could take a week off and hit a refresh. I mean, the whole thing is so interesting. So he's not that guy to just spit cliches. Never has been. Yes, rehab sucks. No, he's not done yet. No, he still may not be ready. That's the first time I've heard him say that. I might not be ready to return this year. Maybe he comes back. Maybe he doesn't. If he doesn't come back, he's okay. He's made a lot of money. Got to play at the same time as his brother. Maybe it's with Kansas City. Maybe he's not. Also, he's not harboring, obviously, any ill will towards the Chiefs for letting him go. And if he is, he's not showing it. And I don't think he is. He lives there now, and he had nothing but love and respect for my guy Andy Reid.
It's the personal touch to, you know, care about people and to, you know, want to help. That's the way he is with his players. You know, he wants the best for us. You know, he doesn't go to the media and say, oh, this guy's not playing well, or that guy needs to play better, or, you know, we're going to make a change this week. You know, he handles that stuff in-house. He treats you the way you want to be treated. When guys are struggling, you feel bad. You're not in a good spot. You know, you don't want to see your coach drag you through the media. And, you know, I don't think that necessarily motivates guys, you know, especially, you know, in this day and age. And so, you know, he handles things the right way. I think, you know, from a coaching perspective, he sets very clear goals and he has expectations and he just trusts you to follow it. If you don't, you know, obviously there's always repercussions. And, you know, if you're not playing well enough or, you know, God forbid you do something against the rules, which he has like one rule, which is don't steal, you know, you're out of there, but you know where you stand. You know, he's a great person. He doesn't have these 20-minute team meetings every day. You know, he trusts his guys to handle the culture and to, you know, handle the work side of it. And he gives you that latitude. And then on top of it, he's just an awesome guy and he's got a pretty good personality behind the scenes.
All right. So this is why Mitchell Schwartz is an awesome guy. And this is a great pod. I mean, you're getting real answers. Like, he's letting us in when guys never do. The other thing I really respect about him and admire about him is he's still technically active, right? He's not retired. Yet he's willing to talk openly about the league and not just the guys that he's playing with, but other guys in the league. As an example, I asked him what he thought about Aaron Rodgers bleep talking the Bears fans last week, and he told me he thought it was awesome.
Oh, that was awesome. That was incredible. You know, Pat had the one a few years ago. I think we were playing Chicago. He did like the counting on his fingers because he was the 10th pick and Trubisky was like the second or third
so
pick.
So good.
And I didn't know that happened until after, of course, because I'm just like, waiting out there for the, you know, PAT team to come on and kick that extra point. And I saw it after the fact. I was like, this is awesome. Like, you love when your quarterback has a little to him and, you know, likes to stick it to other people. And, you know, with Aaron, you know, I know he's like wry and funny behind the scenes. We don't really get to see that from the fan perspective. I guess really only, you know, the funny stuff he says on the McAfee show. But being able to see that kind of raw emotion, you know, he even said after the fact, like, I don't know what I said. I just blacked out and whatever came out. I thought it was great to see from him.
Mitch, he is so good. I also mentioned to him that while it had been a few weeks, I was still having a hard time wrapping my head around Urban Meyer just bailing on his team after another loss and not flying back to the facility with his players. I said that I had never seen anything like that or heard anything like that, but who am I? I was curious to hear from Mitch, being who you are and that you have played the game for a long time, if you had ever seen or heard anything like that.
I would honestly be worried because the expectation is that the coach is on the plane. You know, you go with the team, you fly with the team, like you're the captain, you don't leave the ship. That was honestly the wildest part of that story to me. I mean, I know there's the personal side and, you know, what he did is not right. But in terms of the team aspect, not being on that plane is like the ultimate break in trust from the players. Because if you don't care enough to be there with them after the game, after, you know, he had just gone in that press conference and said, it's heartbreaking, devastating, right. One of the worst losses of his life. And then 30 minutes later, he's like, all right, peace. I got some family in town. I'm going to go see you. It's like, dude, that's not what you do. And as you said, you know, I'm not sure he was a guy that already had 100% buy-in. And to do something, you know, to break trust to that grave of a degree. And then after, I feel like he just went about the explanations all wrong. You know, he made it seem like he made that decision in real time. And he just was like, no, I thought it was better to get some space from everybody and to be on my own. It's like, so this wasn't pre-planned? Like, you just decided, all right, I feel like crap and I'd rather not be with my team. So there was no aspect of it that made sense. And then, of course, they come around and win the next time they play. So, of course, as football does, it carries a life of its own and you just never know where it's going to go.
Mitchell Schwartz, it is such a good conversation. Like 45 minutes of that. There is a lot more of that. So if you want content that is long form, that is premium, that is smart, that is funny, that's raw, you got to go head over and find that. It's really, really good. And there's so much more where that came from, such as him saying that he gave serious consideration to becoming a referee in retirement, how he got his legendary start as a chef or a start as a legendary chef. And he is that too. You want to make sure you go find that entire thing. It's episode 194 of the Jim Rome podcast with Mitchell Schwartz. It is available on Spotify, my Twitter feed, and everywhere else you get your podcasts. That was one of my favorite conversations in a long time. My man's awesome. When we return, speaking of awesome, the most consistent segment of the week, a shook Alves week that was. ATP ain't bad. That's coming up next. If you want to get through and actually call me before the end of the program, I have time for a good phone call. If not, I'm going to ride with Matt in LA. Was that really today that that happened? Seriously.
Outro.
Matt got a golden ticket. Man, I almost feel badly for him that it just kind of got swallowed up and almost lost in an amazing show. But it was a great moment. Matt, nobody can take that from you. Well, I can. Believe me, I can and probably will. But as of right now, my man, you're headed into the weekend as a golden ticket recipient, and your Dodgers are headed back to the ATL. Time now for a sports update. Here it is. Last chance to get through. 1-800-636-8686. Time for the ATP. The Ask the Pros brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Hi, Jim. Since you don't drink during the week, what exactly do you drink while watching all the games every night? Bella B in Calgary. That's actually very funny. Bella, so do you have to drink to watch a game? I understand where maybe you have to gamble to watch a game, but do you also have to drink to watch a game? I mean, the insinuation is you have to have a drink in your hand while watching the games, right? You can't watch a game without a drink. See, Bill, the thing is, to me, it's work. Like, if you watch me on TV, have you ever seen me with a drink on my desk that's not coffee or water or tea? No. I don't have that association. I don't have that, oh, there are games I have to have a drink. So to answer your question, you won't believe this, Bella. Water, Diet Coke, tea, nothing. I don't have to drink as I watch games. I can watch games. How about this, Bella? You won't believe it. I don't have to snack either. I don't need Doritos. I don't need... I mean, Old Trapper, sure. Generally, Bella, nothing. Or water. I just work. She's funny, man. Well, if you don't drink, exactly what do you drink? Nothing. Water.
Love when you talk hockey.
I mean, if you want to argue, I'm not watching a game unless I have action. I'll listen to that argument. But if you're saying to me, I'm not watching a game unless I got hooch or liquor or beer, that's actually funny. You know my deal, Bella. I'll have one tonight before I get on that plane tomorrow. Romy, I know the golden ticket concept came from Willy Wonka, but how and why did you incorporate it into the jungle? I'm a huge fan. Keep up the great work, Rob in the ATL. All right, really quickly, the reason we have that and the reason Matt now has one, it used to be the only way into the smack off was by winning the event or by being somebody who was a consistent, regular contributor that could win the event. Think Rick in Buffalo. If that were the case, we would never, ever have any new blood unless somebody came out of nowhere. So what I wanted to do is open it up to a wild card. I wanted to open it up and make it seem like anybody could get in. Like, say you're a 16 seed. You get in, maybe you shock the world. Or maybe you're a 15 seed and you beat a 2. Or maybe you're a 13 and you get hot and you make a run. I wanted to open it up. You know, for the mid-majors. Or for even a small college somewhere. So what I did was I said, if you do something extraordinary and come out of nowhere, you could actually play your way right into the field. Or if you made a couple of calls and it was on short notice. I just essentially wanted to open it up a little bit and give other people a shot. When did we do that? I don't know exactly when. How about this? I'll tell you how important it is. Leff won a golden ticket back in the day. Mark in Hollywood won a golden ticket back in the day. Essentially, it'd be like a wild card team getting hot and winning the Super Bowl. It's possible. Mr. Rome, have you ever found a bug in your food? Respectfully, Edward Marino from San Diego. Let's think. I don't think, because I would know, right? Let me think. Probably. I mean, assuredly. You know what pisses me off more? A bug in my drink.
Eat it, hug.
That I don't like. Alvy, I know you've had a rather traumatic day. Are you ready to roll your Ionic week that was? What do you know? Got ourselves another week. What's cracking? Welcome to the jungle. I am Jim Rome. A tremendous Monday to you. Lots to go over. Lots to recap. The Chicago Bears are, in fact, a proud organization. And Aaron Rodgers did, in fact, humiliate them all over again.
Yeah! Touchdown, Packers!
I've owned you all my bleeping life. I own you. I still own you. End quote. Bears fan, as angry as you are, no, he's not wrong. Rodgers has turned this into a twice-a-year beatdown. Via Van, my guest.
Most of the time I'm getting double-teamed, I'm laughing while I'm getting doubled. That's just fun for me, but I know somebody has to double-team me. It just makes me laugh. It just also goes back to just having fun out there. If I'm not having fun, you know, why be out there?
It's a blowout in the Meadowlands.
So we're going to compete for 60.
I mean, that looked like some guys who heard that speech about about not quitting and then just decided, nah, let's go ahead and quit.
Touchdown. What a throw to Christian Kirk.
Christian Kirk is joining us.
A general scissors route concept. Kyler made a great throw, stepping up in the pocket, put it somewhere where I could go get it.
I want to take a little time off, buy me a hamburger.
You just turned your dream job into a flaming Bayou tire fire. Now you can go pick up on all the preggers you want and not have to worry about any scrutiny. In terms of Joe rocking the fur coat, that will never not be cool. The fur coat should be in the Hall of Fame by itself. The fur coat should have its own wing in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah!
He's a sneak and he falls short, I believe.
That was absolutely the right call. The guy who's gotten a first down 13 of the 14 times that he's attempted a sneak on fourth and one, you let it rip. Mate. What? You did not, Alvin.
76 yards.
I don't want to hear how Henry running downhill with a full head of steam is the Rhea, and that all of us are Micah High with zero chance. Jordan Ford joining us.
I think I've just been around a lot of successful people in my life, so it starts off with my mom and dad, and then my uncle being Sinbad.
What?
I've been around a lot of success.
Twitter.
Why would anyone want Simmons? Cancer kills, and that wing nut is stage 4 melanoma. That penis. Or Lady Clones.
Fade to the end zone for KJ. Caught and touchdown!
KJ Osborne.
You know, I seen how he could end up being one-on-one with the safety. I ran my route. Kurt threw an excellent ball. Great walk-off win. So really good.
Talking to David Bell.
The opportunity that we had last week playing number 2 team in the country, I think if you aren't locked in for that, then I don't think you should be playing football.
And a fly ball to right center field. And it is gone!
Cody Bellinger could hit 065 next year and still never have to buy a drink in this town ever again if the Dodgers come back. I thought they were done. I'm thinking to myself, time to die. He is John Morosi.
What they do from April to September matters a little bit, and then what happens in the most important at-bats of the year in October means everything.
If you're new to the program, clones is not, it's a generic term for listeners. It's not derisive, it's not negative, it's just neutral.
A clone would call your show and regurgitate your own take right back to you. And then when your show ended, they'd call Hacksaw and they would offer your opinion as their own take.
Bob, what's your beef?
Yeah, my beef is with my son-in-law, Mo, talking about my daughter on the radio.
And all of a sudden, she wanted me to pin her. And I'm like, I don't want to have another kid with her.
That is not a good family look.
Kevin Byard is my guest.
It was actually a clutch situation, so I called timeout. We was able to get the person that we needed to get out there. And we have, like, the fire alarms going off in our facility, so I don't know what's going on.
Are we in a good spot? Can we keep talking right here?
Yeah, I mean, I don't. Somebody runs in here and say, I got to go, then we'll have to go.
I got
to
go.
Try to take a telephone call with that going
in Detroit.
On. Nice to have you on the show, Jeff. What's going on? How are you?
It's
great. How about you? Cliff Floyd.
Next man up mentality, and you're like, yeah, well, who's the next man up? Who's the guy? Because there's no next man up. Then you're just talking outside your neck. So when these cats come up and be like, oh, I want that moment, 3-2, you know, 2 hours. But no, you don't. You really don't.
Well, hit on its way, and Pollock has hit it.
I think I'll interrupt the open, and I think I'll take a telephone call.
All of you guys, you can hate me, but it's on, and I will be calling with a World Series call on Monday.
I'm going to give that guy a golden ticket. Hell yes, Matt. Dodger Matt.
I got to be honest, I'm kind of shook right now.
You grip pretty hard on Fridays.
And there's like a little roach just like crawling by. Grab the nearest paper, like the schedule of the libraries, and I just smashed it.
I did see some raw footage airing on CBS Sports
yeah,
Network.
Pretty graphic.
I'm hoping they embrace that same inner ass this Sunday. Let's go Cards minus 17 and a half.
All them geezers on the bench.
Nice little fishing hole for people like that.
I'm sorry, Chipotle.
Okay, that was nasty.
Dodger Jim did not go into his Dodger closet and select a Dodger blue shirt.
But you drive a Benz too, bro.
You know what I'm saying, Jim? Grind.
Left my nuts out there on that mountain.
Work their nuts off.
Volume knob or whatever, the button.
Outro.
Are you not entertained?
Good night now.
I'll tell you what, that's a big, big rally. That's a big comeback. Look at Alvin manning up at that, what's that thing called? That engineer board with that knob, that volume thingy, thingamajig. Check out Alvin. Look at Dustin G tweets, heading to the casino for the games this weekend. Can't wait to give these a try. It'll be my first time using your bet's head. Let's go.
Can't wait.
There you go. Tell you what, Dustin, check with Bella. Bella hits it. Bella gets down. Bella gets her gamble on. I know Bella gets her drink on because she wants to know what I drink when I don't drink.
Yeah!
Bella, you rule. By the way, Bella, you know how I say sometimes if I read your tweet, you can get followers? Or if it's a really good tweet, I'll retweet it to my 1 mil? Bella has like 12,000 followers.
They're all buttholes out there. They really are.
All those buttholes follow you, Bella. That's a good number. Good on you, Bella.
Butthole.
And she loves when I talk hockey. Bella B, War Lady Clones.
War Lady Clones.
Let's see here. At Good Gone Geek is in. Since at Jim Rome was talking about bugs in food, several years back, some friends and I stopped at a not unpopular restaurant and found a mosquito fried into the coating of our mozzarella sticks. We showed the waitress, who just asked, "So, you don't want them?" All right, so I'm glad that we're ending this show, Sarah, because Sarah Jane, we're Lady Clones. This will be a thread that we don't need. Like I said, I'm sure it's happened. I had more of an issue if I found a bug floating in my martini. But then I think to myself, it's straight gin. It's fine, man. It's better than, like, I could clean my pool with that. That little mosquito's not a threat to me. All right. Don't forget, I will be on the NFL Today on CBS on Sunday. Got to figure out what suit to wear. I'm going to be honest. For those of you who track those things and want to talk junk about what I wear, I'm not going big bling or flash. I'm going to go very classy. It's all classy because it's David August. But if you're looking for me to go purple, that's not happening this weekend. I got to get in the closet, see what's up. Good show today, dude. Good show, dude. My thanks to Alex Highsmith, Darius Butler, James Kelly.
Good show, dude.
Gave away a golden ticket. Dodger Matt in L.A. He still has it. Alvin DeLauro had a traumatic morning. Killed a roach on his soundboard. Fought through it. My thanks to the XR4TI. Head on over to my Instagram feed and check out my side hustle. See you on Sunday from New York City. I'm out.